Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing program to our world-renowned theologians, we want our students to thrive at the university level and beyond.
HBU is honored to talk to Steve Maniacci, the athletic director. And man, since 2009, have you made things happen here? NCAA Division I sports program. Everywhere right. I go in America, everybody talks to me about the sport, the athletics, Division I at Houston Baptist University.
Mm-hmm.
How did it happen?
Well, when I came on board here back in 2007, Dr. Sloan had started in the fall of 2006. And of course, one of the things he did on campus initially was to have a listening session with a lot of people on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people expressed the desire to go back to Division I athletics, which Houston Baptist had been a Division I school prior to 2000.
It had been a Division I school?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
1990, it had been a Division I school.
Now, was this when it was Houston Baptist College?
Well, as Houston Baptist College, yes. And then I believe when it became Houston Baptist University.
Okay.
Until the changeover in presidents in 1990, it had been a Division I institution. And a fairly good Division I institution, was very competitive athletically in many sports. I personally was at Rice at the time, and Houston Baptist was every bit as good as Rice in a number of sports, just didn't play football, and so didn't get the recognition, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And when Dr. Sloan came on board, one of the things that he heard from a lot of the alums and a lot of the people on campus was the desire to go back to Division I athletics. So I was fortunate enough that he brought me on board from Rice specifically to take the university back to Division I.
And so at Rice, you were in what position?
I was the senior associate athletic director, the number two person over there.
Okay, and how long had you been at Rice?
I was there 26 years before I came over here. I started there in 1980. So I was very good friends with a number of the people over here at HBU and had even hired a couple of folks from HBU to come to Rice.
And so, are you a Houstonian?
No, I'm not. I grew up in Ohio originally, did my undergraduate at Ball State University, and did my master's work at Ohio University, and then came down to Houston directly thereafter.
And so, Rice recruited you to Houston?
They did, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Dr. Sloan obviously showed incredible strength and entrepreneurism to make that football thing happen.
True.
Is the linchpin in Texas football?
It is. It is. One of the things
Friday
that...
Friday Night Lights is true.
Well, Friday Night Lights is true, and so does Saturday Afternoon is true, too.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you quickly discover in Texas is if you're not playing football, people ask questions about why you're not. You know, it almost becomes a negative that you're not. Not so much a positive that you are, but a negative that you're not. And for us, football was important for a number of reasons. First of all, we had no Saturday afternoon activity on this campus. We played men's soccer and women's soccer, but that didn't keep anybody around. It certainly didn't bring the alums back to school. We needed some sort of activity that was going to bring alums back to the campus. We needed something for engagement, and football is such a great vehicle for engagement. We were very much declining in male enrollment. Mm-hmm. I think the number was 66-34.
Wow.
Female when we first did the study on football. And every study we'd seen indicated that football, starting football, would turn that around. Every study we saw indicated that football would help with enrollment. And so for all those reasons, it just made sense to try to play football. And so we had to find a method to play football that made sense for us, not only for all those reasons, but economically. And the Southland Conference offered us that opportunity to do that because of the level of football that's played in the Southland Conference.
So tell us the steps that came up to actually getting into the Southland Conference and the stadium. Who got behind it? How did it all come together?
Well, we were in what was known at the time as the Great West League, which was an athletic league that stretched from Chicago to the Rio Grande Valley to the West Coast and all points in the middle. And so we were far flung all over the western part of the United States, flying to games and having athletic competitions. In fact, even New Jersey Tech was in the league, so we were even going to the East Coast at the time.
Wow.
And so it just didn't make sense geographically for us to continue to do that. There were, of course, no natural rivalries within that group, and so nobody, quite frankly, really cared that much about who you were playing. Well, the we approached the Southland Conference about what it would take for Houston Baptist to get into the Southland Conference. The Southland Conference was at that time a Division I AA football conference. That meant their football was in 1AA, every other sport was in 1A. And they pretty much surrounded us. They had schools that played very geographically to where we're located, and still do, obviously. And so we approached them about what was it going to take to get into their league. And their commissioner at the time, Tom Burnett, who is still the commissioner, was very, very succinct with Dr. Sloan and myself that, hey, if you start football, you got a very good chance of getting in. If you don't start football, it's highly unlikely that we would take you.
Is it a tough bullet to bite to get launched?
Absolutely, absolutely. Starting a Division I, very few schools start a Division I football program. They will normally start a Division III football program and then slowly work their way up to Division I, but very few jump into the water head first, which is what we did.
How'd you do that?
It all takes a plan. As they say, it takes plan and resources. And I was very fortunate that I spent a number of years at Rice, and so I had enough contacts to know who to call on to get it done and how to go about getting it done. And then it just took the resources necessary to get it done. And, you know, initially our plan was not to play football on campus. Initially our plan was to play football in the Sugarland Skeeter Stadium down in Sugarland. And we were going to position ourselves as being Sugarland's team, which made some sense simply because of our location in proximity to Sugarland and the fact that we have a number of alums that live in the Sugarland area. And unfortunately, when they built that stadium, they built it such that it was just not going to be a good venue for football. So we played our first year, we played off campus over at Strake Jesuit. And that first year we played as a club sport. And we did that specifically so we could kind of ease into the whole football thing a little bit. And then our second year, of course, we made a determination that we were going to play on campus, that it was going to be much better for us playing on campus than trying to play at a local high school. And so we were able to get the stadium up and going and have that in place to start the second year of football.
Now, Mr. McNair obviously has been a part of all that. Tell
Absolutely.
Us about that. And I've officially switched. I am a Texans fan,
uh-huh.
not a Kansas City Chief.
I understand.
My son is still with the Chiefs, but I'm praying for him. But anyhow, and very hopeful, you know, as we looked at this current season. But how was Mr. McNair and others involved?
Well, when we decided that we were going to have an on-campus stadium, we had already built the field because we needed it to practice on. You had to have a football field, obviously, to practice on. And so we had put the field in, and when we put the field in, we made arrangements to be able to have enough land available to put a stadium in if we ever chose to do it one day. Well, when the determination was made that we were going to try to play football on campus, we started a fundraising campaign. And of course, we went to some of the obvious folks, in the area that we felt had an interest in football. And we were very fortunate, quite frankly, that a member of the McNair family was actually here on campus at the time, was a student at the time, and had already said that she wanted to help with the whole football campaign. And so we were able to connect with the McNair family, and certainly through their generosity, that they were so giving and so excited about seeing the thing getting going out here that they were very generous in helping us get that stadium established out there. And then, of course, there were many others that piled on with that. And we're so happy for all the help that everybody gave to get that thing started out there. But principally, the McNairs were the ones who really got it going.
And so the stadium bears their name?
No, it does not. The plaza outside the stadium
gotcha.
Bears their name.
Okay.
We specifically have left the stadium without a name on it so that at some point down the line, there are plans for us to obviously finish out the other side at some point. And it was developed so that we could brick the whole stadium in and make it a very nice facility. And at that time, that's going to take some resources. And hopefully we'll find a donor at that point that wants to put their name on it. And then we'll put that name on the stadium.
And so the finished stadium will be seat what?
There's enough room out there to actually seat 15,000.
Really?
Yes. And we could even theoretically take it to 30 if we double-decked the stadium. So there's enough room out there to take it to what we would need if we ever made a determination that we wanted to play 1A football or FBS football. We could do that. We would have the stadium capacity to be able to do that. But everything begins in increments, obviously. And so, I think for where we are, if we can at some point get 2 to 5,000 seats on the other side, we'll be in good shape for what we need to do right now today.
And so you had a good season this last year.
We did. Well, we had a good season, not a great season.
But for a young football team, right, it was respectable.
Right. We're right where we wanted to be. We're right where we wanted to be. We wanted to be able to show some improvement, win some games in the league, and we did that this past year. We were two missed field goals away from having a winning season, which would have been a great year and probably would have garnered us a lot of national attention. But, you know, those things happen, and so we'll get ready to play next year, and hopefully next year we'll crack that winning season mark.
And so how do you do it, Steve? I mean, we're talking to the athletic director at Houston Baptist University, Steve Maniacci. How do you do it? 17 different NCAA Division I sports programs. My goodness. I mean, and I met your wife, and she's the significant leader at one of the hospitals here. You
Correct.
Guys are busy people.
Well, we are, but it's really very similar to being a dean at a university and
sure.
having a number of different academic groups underneath you.
Yep.
You know, you try to set the tone as a leader for those groups, and then you try to not get into the minutia. At least in my case, I try to not get into the minutia. I could not tell you who we're going to sign tomorrow in football.
Right.
Okay, I have no idea who those kids are right now. I will after I see the list tomorrow, but I don't get into recruiting. I don't get into coaching. I get into trying to provide the resources necessary for my units to be successful.
So do you, Steve, do you actually go in the recruiting process of the head coaches of these respective
no.
teams? Okay.
Not at all.
So tell
not
me,
at all.
I mean, I know an athletic director is all-encompassing, but give me an idea of what the areas that you kind of push the buttons on or they get
well,
the final approval
sure,
for
sure, certainly BN. Fundraising.
Yep.
The primary job an athletic director today is fundraising and hiring and firing and then motivating the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really the three primary responsibilities an athletic director today has.
So you're leading the leaders.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
And so how do you do that? What is the plan with
well,
that?
Well, again, I think it's a lot of it's interpersonal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to set a tone as a leader of what you want your group to be like. If I come across as being nervous Nelly or snooping in their business, you know, as they would see it, snooping in their business or you know, any of those things like that, then I'm going to set a tone that probably is not going to be very good.
Sure.
But if I set a tone of confidence in what they're doing, but continuing to ask questions about how we can help them get better at what they're doing and continuing to praise them for what they are doing, then I think we get a lot further down the line.
So students don't have to leave athletic pursuit behind in coming to HBU, do they?
Oh, not absolutely not. I mean, we recruit those students.
So let's talk about the teams. I mean, 17, what are they?
Oh, gosh. now you're going to put me on the spot. You know, we have the golfs. We have men's and women's golf. We have baseball, softball, the two basketballs, men's and women's basketball, volleyball, both soccers, men's and women's soccers. And we're a bit unusual in that we have men's soccer. Not that many institutions in Texas actually have men's soccer. Of course, football. And I'm sure I'm leaving out several. We just started beach volleyball,
wow.
Which is a new upcoming sport in the NCAA. So we just started that last year. So we've got a number of offerings. About the only thing we really don't offer that's somewhat popular is either one of the tennises. We just don't have the facilities for tennis, and we don't have the facilities to offer swimming.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we've got everything else.
So, I mean, what was the takeaway from Rice that you learned? Would you say in your years there that you learned that helped you coming to HBU to make so much happen in such a short time?
Well, I think several things. Two, experience.
Right.
Experience is a great teacher.
It is.
I mean, I there's probably not anything that I've seen here at HBU that I hadn't already gone through at least two or three times when I was at Rice. So experience is a great teacher. Number two, I learned that I think the best way to run an athletic department is run it as a family. And that was always the atmosphere that we had. That was the tone that was set at Rice by the athletic directors that I worked under at Rice. And that's what we try to achieve here, too, at HBU. Now, the thing that I have here that I didn't have there was the Christianity aspect that really we just couldn't even talk about at Rice. But so here, we can embrace.
And you have some fantastic coaches that, I mean, they've not only mentored athletically, but they are really mentoring spiritually.
Absolutely.
And I just can't say enough good things about Coach Sheely and hope to have him on this podcast. But, You know, we have a confessional statement that the trustees unanimously approve. We've all embraced that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I sidebar that with a thought that David Brooks, the New York Times columnist, who was raised Jewish, has become a believer, and recently at CCU, said that Christian universities had something that most universities do not have. It was a provocative statement coming from Brooks. How important is the faith element to our athletic program?
Oh, it's tremendously important. I mean, it's the bedrock on which we're founded. I mean, that's who we are, and we embrace who we are. It's as important for us that our kids move along in their walk of faith as it is that we win a ball game, and probably, quite frankly, more important. I mean, we are a I like to say we're kind of a three-legged monster, where it's academics, athletics, and your faith, as opposed to most schools where it's just a two-legged stool of just academics and athletics. And of course, a three-legged stool will stand better than a two-legged stool. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the analogy I use. I always say it's kind of a monster. It's really not. But I mean, that's kind of the analogy that we always use, is that we have that third leg that other institutions don't have. And so it makes us that much sturdier.
And that's done by design and purpose.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the coaches that you hire embrace the confessional statement that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hard to find coaches?
Well, I wouldn't say it's hard to find coaches. You know what it is? It's hard to sometimes identify those coaches. It takes somebody who's willing to state their Christian beliefs, and sometimes you don't always know if they haven't stated publicly their Christian beliefs. For example, if you worked at some of the universities, you would be frowned upon if you did state your Christian beliefs, even though you had your Christian beliefs. And so sometimes it's hard to know where those folks come down when you're trying to find coaches. So you have to find out by talking with them, and you can pretty well tell pretty quickly once you get one-on-one with them what their beliefs are. And we make it very plain that's who we are and that's what we're about, and they have to be part of that if they're going to come here.
When Montana was with the Chiefs, one of the other members of the team was a good friend of mine. We'd take our kids trick-or-treating, and he's homeless now. And a lot of people don't realize that the postscript of a lot of great NFL players and athletic players is almost poverty, sometimes addiction.
Right.
So that faith component has to be very crucial to athletic technique, huh?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because sometimes that may end up being all you have left is your faith. And that will get you through if you have that component.
Now, as you're thinking about the future here at HBU athletically, what do you see in the various different teams? What's your goals? What's the thoughts running through your mind?
Well, we would like to, now that we're thoroughly ensconced in the Southland Conference, we want to become the best we can be within that conference. You know, your goals have to be win the conference, and you got to consistently win the conference before you can start thinking about winning nationally. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to move up the ranks of where we are within the conference. This is only our fourth year in the conference, and so we're slowly beginning to be more and more competitive within the conference. I'd like to eventually get us to where we're consistently winning conference championships and then consistently having individuals or teams that place nationally.
And so the victory at Stephen F. Austin, was that a pleasant surprise?
I wouldn't say it was a surprise. We've played them close the last couple of years, relatively close. So really not surprised at all. Happy, certainly. Yeah, happy anytime we lose. Wins are wins. Wins are hard to come by. I mean, wins are hard to come by in any sport at any time, so you always celebrate those victories. But I wouldn't say I'm surprised by it. I mean, I'm at the point where I wouldn't say that I expect us to win, but I expect us to be competitive enough to win.
The sports programs do bring an opportunity for exposure to HBU. I mean, I've heard stories and different people telling me about all kinds of media coverage and who are playing. I mean, can you elaborate on that? Because we can't really put a dollar figure to what that equates to.
Right. You really can't, Jerry. You really can't put a dollar figure on it. But you have much anecdotal things that you can cite that tell you that there has to be some value to it. We have a board member who lives in Arizona who gets to watch us play football every week because our home games are on TV. That's got to be worth something. We have had our recruiting arm for the student body tell us that they've talked to kids out of state who said, oh, I saw HBU on TV when you played Michigan in basketball, or when you played Indiana this past year in basketball. Or I know, for example, that our football games are carried in Pittsburgh, as of all places. But you know, that value of getting our name out there, if nothing else than having it on the ESPN crawler every night where it says HBU X, you know, TCU X, there is value in having that name out there because our name recognition has grown markedly over the last 10 years.
Of school, Christian universities our size in Texas, are they all in the same NCAA Division I?
No, they're not. They're not. They're across the board. There are some that are Division II. Mary Hardin Baylor would be a good example of that. There are some that are Division III. They aren't all in Division I. In fact, probably, I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's another one, certainly of the Baptist schools. Dallas Baptist plays Division I baseball.
But that's not the only. Football.
Not, they don't have football at all, and they don't play any other sport Division I. They only play Division I baseball.
Wow.
So I think we're rather unusual in that respect in the state of Texas, I believe, in terms of the fact that we're Division I. Now, there are others out there, Samford, for example. There's many other Christian universities that are of our size spread across the country that do play Division I athletics.
David Stockwell is a good friend of mine who went to Rice many years ago, and as so many others did. But faith obviously has been a compass guiding you.
Absolutely.
It certainly brought you to HBU.
Absolutely.
I mean, Rice, a lot of people would believe that's the end all to be there and stay there.
Well.
What is your faith experience?
Well, I'm a Methodist by faith. Interestingly enough, I, as you would guess, I'm Italian with the last name of Maniacci. My father went off to war, got married like the week before he went off to war, and figured out that they had made a mistake getting married that soon and came back. And as a Catholic at that time, you got excommunicated from the church.
Oh.
So because of that, I was not raised in a Catholic family, although everybody else in my, you know, external family is in fact Catholic. I'm not. I'm Methodist because my mother was Methodist.
Yep.
So, but that being said, my wife is Catholic, so we kind of split the difference there.
Sure.
1 week in the Methodist church, 1 week in the mm-hmm. Catholic church. So we get a little of both.
Yeah. And how's your Italian cooking?
My Italian cooking, you would not want to eat, quite
you know,
frankly.
You don't want to invite me over for spaghetti.
No, I know a lot of good Italian restaurants. there's a number of, in this city, there are a number of good Italian restaurants. Of course, the Mandola family comes to mind immediately with a number of good places. And I'm sort of a ex officio member of the Mandola family. So
yeah.
I know where to go to get good Italian food.
And let me just ask you this as we kind of come to a close. I mean, Texas and football, I mean, it just seems to be like inseparable.
Well,
has that always been the history of this state?
I think it is. I think it is.
And why?
I don't know that. I don't know why. I'm not sure that I know why. You'd have to ask somebody with a longer history in the state of Texas than what I have, I guess. But from the very start, you know, of the state almost, football has become very close. I mean, people will tell you we have big churches and big football in this state. And those are the two defining things about the state of Texas. And it just is.
What's your NFL team?
I really don't have one. I grew up a Browns fan.
Yep.
And I grew up at the time when Frank Ryan was the quarterback and Jim Brown was the running back.
Oh, yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to be able to work at Rice with Frank Ryan for a while. So I actually got to work with him, one of my childhood idols. So I guess, you know, as much as anything, the Browns, but they're so bad that I would never claim them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get to watch enough sports on my own without having a pro franchise that I really root for.
What's your NBA team?
Again, I just don't really have one.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, I will see over 150 athletic events of ours in a given year. And so I just really don't have that much time or energy to expend on rooting for a pro team.
Sure.
Just don't.
Makes total sense, Steve. Yeah. You have a website, the athletic department. Can you give
HBUHuskies.com.
HBUHuskies.com. And lots of opportunity for interested students to check out HBU. They can dive into 17 different NCAA Division I sports programs. Steve, it's an honor to have you a part of the team at HBU, and we are really, really excited about what's going to take place in the future. What's your predictor for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years as far as athletics and HBU?
Well, I am hopeful that within the next 3 years we'll have a winning football season. I'd like to see us win 2 or 3 more Southland Conference championships and other sports over the next couple
because
of years.
Let's talk about baseball. When did y'all take the
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago we won in baseball. This past year we won in soccer.
That's right.
3 years ago we won in soccer. So we've already won a number of championships in the league, and as I say, we intend to win more. And I'd like to see us in the next couple of years, as I say, win 2 or 3 more Southland Conference championships and get to play in the NCAA. And as I say, have a winning season in football. That will really be a landmark for us. To go from zero to having a winning season in football will really be big for us.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I will tell you that I would never bet against Bill Belichick.
I'm with you. Steve Maniacci, the athletic director at HBU, and learn more at HBUHuskies.com.
Yep.
Thanks for your time, Steve.
Jerry, thank you.
At HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.